Strivers, race drivers, this is it. This is our last episode. I thought what I'd do is kick back with you beautiful folks that have been following this show for so long. Thank you so much. It's been amazing. But yeah, I'm here at the hotel ready for the F1 test that we're doing tomorrow with AlphaTauri, with Liam Lawson, which is going to be amazing. His first proper F1 test. So I thought, well, what better way to finish off the season at the similar time to when we just witnessed the last race of the 2021 Grand Prix, F1 season. See, I can't even talk with that tired. But it was mega. As you probably know, a certain Dutch person won, Max Verstappen, right here, actually. I'll show you where I am. This is where it all happened. You can see the circuit there. That's where obviously they were going really slow under the safety car, and on they went, and it was an epic last lap. All you F1 fans, you enjoyed it. We watched it from here. Well, actually, a little secret, we were here with F2 in the morning, and then to watch the race we just came to the hotel room, which, you know, a lot of people fly to F1 Grand Prix to watch an F1, but when you're working in it, you go to the hotel because you want to listen to the commentary. You want to do all that stuff. You don't want to be just stood there not knowing what's happening, which is a pretty good job. But it would have been ace to actually have been here on the last lap, I think, because we were right underneath the grandstand, the Orange Army grandstand, which actually, don't know if you can see it, but it's just there. It's that grandstand through that cover over this beautiful... Actually, you probably saw this hotel on the TV as well. So, yeah, it was epic. And I think I want to finish off this season talking about that, but really it's just two lessons that I take personally from Max. And some people love him, some people hate him, but it's, you can't deny that kid, because he's still a kid, has something special. He's always had something special. And actually, I've got to put you down so I don't make you feel sick. Put you down on my computer just to give some stability to this video, otherwise it can send you a bit doolally. But yeah, I first met Max when I was coaching his teammate in F3, so spent the year against Max, but in the same team, so I learned a lot from him. But he came there 16 years old, and the first test at Hungary, turn 12, that's where I stood, just watching, and I've heard a lot about this world champion, Carter, coming into turn 12, and I knew that our car, because my, you know, the teammate was the one I was with, had understeer at turn 12. Yet I watched this 16-year-old rock up, and he went through the corner with oversteer, so the rear coming out. I was like, how the hell has his car got oversteer and ours has got understeer? And then I watched him again. I was like, cheeky git, he's doing it on the brakes. It's the way he's using the pedals to balance the car how he wants it. He's also using the apex curb to kick the rear out, so the car's straighter for the exit. I was like, that's doing something like that when you're 33 is quite amazing. Doing something like that when you're 16 in one of your first F3 tests, mind blowing. And from that moment, I was like, you know what? This year, we're screwed. And when he got signed, and I, straight away when I saw him in the wet as well, how he destroyed everybody in the wet. You know, Ocon was there, a lot of people on that grid in F3 that year. And he destroyed everyone. And as soon as he started to, you know, the hysteria came around him and he started to talk to F1 teams. And there was talk of him going straight to F1. Most of the world were like, this is crazy. He's too young. He's not experienced enough. But I knew for a fact, I couldn't wait. It's like having a secret, you know, and you can't tell anyone. And I was like, guys, you wait till you see what he's like in F1. He's going to smash everyone. At that age, I was thinking that. And it weren't just me, because I've got this eye for talent. It was obvious. And I thought, I can't wait for these people to see him in the wet, because he'll kill everyone as well. Even more so. So it doesn't matter about the car. And he did in Brazil. You remember at Sao Paulo, how good he was there in the first part of his career. So it's the surprising thing for me is how drivers, you can tell, and I've said it before, you can tell by the handshake if they're going to be a champion or not, which is kind of an exaggeration. But what you can tell is if they've got it or not. And when you get somebody like that, and I've had the privilege of working with people, a few drivers like that, it's instant. You look at them just for 3 minutes on track, maybe just once, and you see them dancing with the car the way they do and manipulating it and trying things and being confident enough to have a spin, but then come round next lap and do it again without the spin, but you're trying something else instead of being fearful, instead of worrying about all these little things that, well, he's got a bit faster engine than me. I haven't got as much experience as all these other people. Fast drivers don't care about that. They get in the car and they drive. And that's pretty much it. And they're good. So a lot of race drivers here that watch these videos, you haven't even raced yet you're telling me that you've got the talent to go to F1. I want one of the lessons from this weekend for you beautiful people is I want you to prove it. If you're trying to sell yourself to a race team, to me, to anybody, to your parents, and you're saying you've got what it takes, but you've never raced, I want you now to commit to getting in a race seat in 2022, no matter what. And don't be fancy. If you haven't got the money, don't be fancy. Don't say I'm going to do F4, which costs €250,000 to do in the first place. You do anything. Race a VW Golf. Race one of the BMWs. Race a Ginetta. Race something. Formula Ford, Formula V. Something you can afford. Anything. Absolutely anything. Even if it's hill climb. Karting. Rental kart championship. Now, anybody can afford a rental kart championship. It's like 500 for the year. I want you to race and prove. Because the longer you hold this off, the longer you just keep saying you're going to do it and you've got the heart and the passion to go and chase your dream, that's great, but it wears thin. People are like, yeah, brilliant. You're going to get a job. So just start to prove yourself. Start to walk the talk. Start to talk less, but use your actions more. Say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get a race win. I'm going to go out. I'm going to show myself that I'm good enough and I can drive. So that was one thing that just reminded me when I'm talking about this. It wasn't what I was supposed to be talking about today. But I want to talk about the lessons that I take from this weekend. And it is the Max show. Sorry to keep going on about him for you Hamilton fans, but there's something to learn here. The first thing is that speed is everything, which I've actually said. Sorry, I've actually covered that. But the second thing that really hit home was brand. Brand means reputation. You need to build a reputation in this sport in order to get the opportunities offered to you. So again, when he was in F3, he started to win races. People could just see that he was fast. I remember him going to see Mercedes, because I was with a DTM driver back then, Vittoris, in the Mercedes team. And I saw Max come into the hospitality area and I was like, oh, what's he doing here? He's talking to the big boss of Mercedes, which was Toto Wolff. And then the rumors started, and then you started to find out he's actually going to sign with Mercedes as the junior team. So he probably would have done GP2 or F2, wherever it was then. And then he would have made it to F1, and he would have been in the seat instead of Bottas if he carried on. So you can imagine Max would have won bloody how many championships by now? Not just his first one, if he did that back then, 7 years ago. But then he went to Red Bull. They wanted him. They offered him a lot to jump a ship and go towards Red Bull. And they stole him from Mercedes at the last second. So you can imagine how now Toto Wolff's like, ah, could have had him. But again, it's brand. It's reputation. He had that rep. All of a sudden, everyone wanted him. It's not because his dad was used to be an F1 back in the day. It's hardly anything to do with that. It was him. They saw something in him. And also, on top of that, brand is the orange army, which again is just there on that grandstand behind me. They were going bananas. Check out my live stream or just the video, the short that I put up yesterday, of how mad they were. They were there all day singing right above our garage. Max Super Max song is stuck in my head all the time. But thousands of them, like 3,500 people, all wearing orange with the flags. And I was like, you know what? That is brand. That's power. If you've got people power like that, and I'm not talking about the merchandise money is earning, it's just sort of like creating this hysteria around somebody. So now you're becoming bigger than the sport. And you see in other sports, with Conor McGregor, again, controversial. Some people love him, some people hate him. Conor McGregor, kind of bigger than UFC. You don't really watch UFC unless he's fighting, that kind of thing, right? Muhammad Ali in boxing. Usain Bolt, 100-meter sprint. Having that person there as the brand is really important. And it's something, again, that you can do. Yes, I want you to have speed. I want you to find out how you can prove that you've got it so you get the brand. I want you to find out how you can improve your driving skills using simulators, karting, driver coaching at a race school, using instructors there. Anything you can do to refine your driving, you must do. These are basics. But to get to the top, it's all about basics. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to say, right, I've got to come up with another strategy, a different career path. Don't worry about career. Yeah, it is live, mate. Don't worry about career path. If you've got the speed and you've got the gob, you've got people knowing about you, you're going to make it. And that's the same in anything, not just in racing. It's like, right, if I'm a company, I need a good product and I need good marketing. You tell me what else there is. Forget customer service. Forget, is it the fastest delivery in the world? Nothing. No. You need the product and you need the reputation, the marketing, getting it out and people talking about you. So, bringing it back to your world now, how can you improve speed and brand, skill and your rep in the sport? You're not going to get it by shouting on the phone saying you're better than everyone if you haven't proven it. So I want you to get on track no matter what it is. Less of this, less talking, less I'm going to get to F1. Less I'm doing this, I want to do that, I've got big dreams, I deserve it. Let's just put that to the side for a moment and just say, right, day one, how the hell am I going to get on track? Or if you're already racing, how the hell am I going to win next year in 2022? I've got to make an impact. If I can't win the championship, I want everybody saying that I'm the fastest driver and I should have won. Just like Mansell used to be, you know. He only won one championship, but you knew for years that dude should win. In 1986, I think it was, his tyre blew out when he should have won. He was just bringing it home. Max Verstappen, again, fast driver. Who knows if he's quicker than Hamilton? We need to get them in the same car to find out, which will never happen. But still, if he doesn't win, you're like, he should have won. Or at least he should be up there all the time. You just know. You've got to have that air, that reputation around you and people talking about you. So when you pick up the phone and call a team and ask them for a drive or call up a sponsor because you've done all this stuff, it's easier for them to say yes. You'll get the call. If you prove you're fast and everyone knows about you, there's nothing else to this. So over winter, because this, everybody, this is the last episode now of the Race Driver Coach Show. I might come back next year. It depends if you want me back. So, but for now, it's the last one. How over winter can you improve your speed and improve your reputation in the sport? And I've talked about how to get in the sport in the past. You know, if you want to be a mechanic, get in that way. So you're in the environment, people get to know your name. And you're working on your skill there, but just over winter, make it your objective. Start every single week, speed, brand, speed, brand. How am I going to increase my skill, improve my skill, get faster, get on the track, which is sponsorship as well, but also, how am I going to get people to know about me? I don't want to be the best kept secret anymore. I don't want to be telling my mom and dad and people that I'm going to make it. I haven't done anything about it in the last 2 years. No more. 2022, if COVID allows, has to be your year. Less chat, more doing. Now, people, please tell me, have you got any questions at all before we sign off? You can see that I've got loads of questions emailed to me. The main, you know, a lot of them were about fitness, a lot of them were about sponsorship, but going into sponsorship, I would say, in this new world, how are you going to match and compete against people like Facebook, who advertise companies at a pinch of a cost, and they get everybody, they advertise every company that they want. Sorry, I'm just reading some of the comments and some of the emails that are coming in. But How are you going to compete? How are you going to allow companies to grow through your sport or through a sport? Answer this question as well, please. You've got to get on the grid. There's no two ways about it. Right, how do I start, to be honest? If you're an introvert, mate, I'm an introvert. Can you believe this? I'm a dude who couldn't even talk in front of the class. I'm the dude who was, when it was reading time in the class, please don't choose me, teacher. Please don't choose me. And I'm doing bloody videos left, right, and center. I'm talking to crowds before COVID, talking to audiences about how to improve their life and their performance. If you're an introvert, you have to create this person that is going to go and get your dream. You have to create, build them, is what Goggins says. I want you to start to fill your head full of David Goggins, an absolute madman. Research him now if you don't know, David Goggins, and just put David Goggins motivation bang in YouTube. Wake up to that every day. He's an introvert. It's amazing, actually. The people, Max Verstappen is an introvert. Again, going back to F3 when he was in our team, he would always go out the back door if he knew there was a press guy out the front. If there was press or media or people wanting photos out the front of the awning, he would go out the back. He hated it. He's an introvert. This introvert is really somebody who isn't out there naturally. It doesn't come naturally, but they just force themselves to do it. And you can imagine how many interviews he has to do. How, you know, he has to go to these photo shoots. He has to sell himself as well. His dad helps him do that, obviously. But still, he has to be out there talking to business people and teams and selling himself. But he prefers to do it while the lid is on, the helmet's on, and he's in the car. So if you're an introvert, that's no excuse. It's nothing to do with you putting in the action to get the dream that you want. Or you can hide behind this introvert identity, say, that's me, I can't go for it because I don't feel very confident, and I'm going to go through life as that, as my shield. You're going to end up very unhappy. You'll get to the end, you'll look at your younger self, you say, dickhead, why the hell didn't you act? You were young, you had everything going for you. Now I'm old, I'm 99, I can't do shit. I'm just in this old people's home. What the hell? If I could only do it all again. And think about that, because regret is powerful. It will get you off your ass now. Say, yeah, okay, I'm a bit introverted, but you know what? I've got to go and sell something to this company now. I've got something in sport that I know can help them sell products or get more customers. And all I've got to do is communicate it to them just to see if they're interested or to see if it fits. I'm not even selling it. I'm going to them and I'm going to say, right, you sell that bottled water. You know what? There's like 20,000 people at race meetings. I think these people would love your water. How about it? You make it a bit glossier than that, but that's all you're asking. You're just seeing if it fits. If they want to have people having their water around race circuits. So this introverted thing, mate, it's no excuse. You have to, again, build the person who is going to go out there and do it. Right, someone just said Max or Lewis. I think that means you're asking me who I prefer and who I think's best. It's impossible to say who's best because Max is going to be better at certain things than Lewis and vice versa. Lewis is more stable. Max is absolutely on the edge. But I believe he is hungrier now at that age. You know, you've got energy. Believe me, Lewis is hungry, of course. But when you're fighting as the underdog, that underdog power, there's something there. And it makes you go further. It makes you, you see how he overtook him, right? The last lap. When Max is fighting you, it's really hard to defend against. It's basically you say, I'm going to let you in or we're going to crash. Because the way he does it, if you watch it, he points the car in, or he's actually on the inside, one of the two, but he's going for that apex no matter what. And he'll go in with overspeed. So you'll be on the outside, turning this way, right? You'll be on the outside, he'll dive to the inside, and he won't slow it down, or because he goes in that fast, he brakes that late. He won't slow it down until he gets to the edge of the track, all right? You can undercut him if you really brake early, but it's difficult to, because he can just pause and hold you there and pin you to the right. Or if you're on the outside when he does it, it forces you off. So to fight against someone who just throws the car in is very difficult. You always end up in a crash. or you let him have it and you think, right, I'll DRS or get you on the exit, which is what Hamilton tried to do, but obviously he had no tyres to do it. There was nothing left where Max was on soft. So they're just two different drivers in a way, both great in the wet. You know, them two are pretty much the two best nearly in the wet. It's hard to say who's best, but let's just say Max has got the edge a little bit at the minute. So that's my thought on it. But yeah, guys, bringing it back to you, remember, speed and brand. One more thing, unless you ask a question that catches my eye, one more thing is this week I'll say who's won the last competition, the latest competition for the bands, the resistance bands, and they'll get sent to you, so I'll email you all for that. Thanks for the whole year, everybody. The few highlights that come out from this season for me are Brian Sims, the absolute sponsorship warrior. Go back to two episodes ago, I think it was, when I interviewed him. He was brilliant. And wow, it's hard to say what I actually think about anything else, but the one thing I want to do is hold you accountable. I want to hold you accountable over this winter to say, right, Uncle Enzo, I am going to dedicate myself now the next 3 months to improving my skill, speed, and improving my brand, my reputation in the sport. And if you're not in the sport, it's like, right, how can I start? I've got 3 months to sort this out. I want you to have a calendar, a countdown clock, where every single day you look at that clock, you're like, holy crap, I've got 3 weeks left. I've got to call some people. I've got to get some quotes off race teams. I've got to see if I can buy a race car, a really cheap one. I've got to go karting. I've got to do something. I want people on this channel to be actively going for racing, unless you're just here for a bit of motivation and you're nothing to do with racing. But I want you to, if you are committing yourself and you say, I want to be a race driver, I think now, the next 3 months, is the time to do it. And if COVID shuts us all down again, then you've got to be the eSport champion. Whichever way it is, improve over this winter, please. And that's it. Right. In the meantime, this will be the last one for the year, but just send me questions. You can do it on the website, theracedrivercoach.com. And that'll supply me with enough questions to fuel the next season. But everybody, it's been a great season. Thank you. From Abu Dhabi, I'd like to say goodbye and thank you all. And I mean it. Thank you all for being on this journey. Bye for now. And Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.